KFC. Mont Bellevue, Houston, ESPN 97.5, a Gao Media station. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hi, welcome back to The Big Show. One in the books, still 2 hours to go. It is The Usual Suspects, therefore ESPN 97.5, Nick behind the glass. Barry and I on a Tuesday. Go ahead.
I was trying to.
You can't. And again, you talked to me about even if you would have blocked your microphone, my microphone, and the Michael Carroll's in the other studio, it would have been your equivalent of opening a can is Patrick Creighton's voice in the studio.
It's refreshing. I'm trying to get in shape.
Diet Coke number one.
Diet Coke number three.
Yeah. See.
Wow.
Including a large.
Number one for the show.
Number one for the show. Maybe. Well. So I got a 40-ounce Diet Coke from the place I ate today.
Got a 40?
Yeah, plus another can. So this
how many coffees?
What? Two.
Good Lord. So how are we not peeling you off the ceiling?
Two 14-ounce coffees from the house, from the Casa, the Keurig.
Mm-hmm.
And then Diet Coke, so a 12, so 52, however much this is, 64 ounces of Diet Coke plus two coffees. And it's what, two?
Sorry about that. That was me like hocking up a spit or something.
Oh, nice. That was wonderful.
It was
what
half
that
a
was.
Sneeze. I looked at it like, what?
That was creepy. A question for you, Barry. Should the Texans go after Antonio Gates? That was from Rico.
Well done, Rico.
Well done, Rico. I'm going to laugh if AB is talking all this mess and turns around and gets hurt wherever he ends up and is out for the season. No, I'm not going to laugh at that.
No.
That would be a little poetic.
Karma is what
now,
it is, though.
What would be hilarious if it's a chest injury? Mr. Big Chest.
Oh, Mr. Big Chest
now,
overdid
that
it.
Would be.
Yeah.
I'm praying for when he comes back to Pittsburgh to play the announcers announcing him like Mr. Big Chest with a 10-yard reception.
I'm telling you.
That would be fantastic.
Crazier things have happened. Remember, he hate me. Played in the first XFL.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He hate me. Do you guys think that the Texans should go after Jerry Rice? I hear he's available. I see. Don't start that.
No.
Don't start that with me at all. And then JJ had this. Texans, I don't think they should go after Brown, but I do think they should go after and get Jackson from Tampa Bay. So since Fuller can't stay healthy. No. No, that mean why would you? Why?
Here's the thing. Before you go looking outside, you need to know what the deal is with Will Fuller.
You got enough holes.
He's been banged up. He's been hurt. If we know going into the season, he's not going to be either at the level he was and or he's not going to be healthy. Then you start having to realize we might have to address getting at least another receiver. But you have the draft coming up, and you have free agency. Golden Tate's out there right now. People forget DeSean Jackson has a year left on his deal. So he's another one that's out there saying where he'd like to play. Well, everybody has champagne wishes and caviar dreams, fellas. But when you're under contract, you ain't going anywhere unless the team decides you are.
And he's played since 2014. He's played 15 games once. Twice, 14 games, 12 games, and 10 games. I mean, he's not the most durable guy either. You've already got guys that can miss a few games in Fuller, in QT, and you've got holes galore.
Yeah,
you don't want to be creating
more cap issues for yourself because of all the holes you have to fill with the draft and if you are going to look in free agency. So therefore, Golden Tate's going to cost you a whole hell of a lot less. Mm-hmm. He's a lot more durable and tough. He knows the role of being a slot receiver and a potential outside guy. And I think he would really savor, after his experience with the Eagles, a chance to play for a team that gets to the playoffs and have a chance to win.
Yeah, just on the flip side, Golden Tate, the least amount of games he played in, 11 in 2010.
There you go.
Since then, 16, 15, 16, 16, 16, 16, 16, 15.
There you go.
There's
my cheap fix answer for you so that you don't have to dabble in all this crap.
There you go. Now, Juan wants to talk about Antonio Brown. Sorry. Juan wants to talk about Mr. Big Chest.
There you go.
Juan, I swear to you on everything that's holy, if you suggest him to the Texans, you're banned from the show.
I don't think so. Hey, with two superstars supposedly on the chopping block, what's the likelihood that the Steelers go after some superstar defender, either already established or up and coming? As always, I love the show.
Appreciate
it. Easy from Denver.
Yeah, man. Stay warm out there. Steelers fan one. And we always appreciate you checking in on the text line and the phone line. Yeah. They need help defensively. They're losing or going to lose a couple of stars. And it's a – you have to be careful, though. I think if I'm the Steelers right now, I'm really cautious about who I bring in. And the big reason is that locker room already having a tough time of it. You want to make sure that whoever you get, that whoever is a fit for that team on the field is also a fit off the field, because there's a lot of issues right now in the Steelers locker room.
Yeah, you know how it used to be where the first mess up, you're like, well, that's just a blip on the radar. That's not our culture. That's not how things go. But now because of Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown and everything in Pittsburgh, even James Harrison had kind of hinted on some things. Tomlin has a really, really big issue that he's got to try and downplay. And the only way you can do that is to start getting the right guys for the culture after getting rid of the guys. So they do have some draft picks. Yeah, they could help use some help on defense. They still have Juju Smith-Schuster. They got a good tight end. But they, you know, is Connor your guy? Are you sold on him? Or do you want a two-headed monster so you get some speed back there with him so that, you know, you don't have to worry about durability and you have some depth? But, yeah, defensively, too, they have some players. And obviously, T.J. Watt has turned out to be pretty good for them in his rookie campaign. But they're older in the front seven. Their secondary was beat up. You know, Joe Hayden was a guy that they took a flyer that kind of filled a gap, but is he going to be long-term?
Well, yeah, they do need help at corner. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is a spot that they need to address. They could use some help in the middle of that defense as well, especially with linebacker. Yeah, I tried to pull up the names while you were talking about guys that are available, especially just at cornerback. Mm-hmm. And so I'm looking at SpotTrack 2019 unrestricted free agents at cornerback. Robert Alford is the first name on the list. And then they've got guys like Kareem Jackson, Brent Grimes, Maurice Claiborne, EJ Gaines. And there's some, you know, Justin Coleman. There's some guys listed here, but nothing where you're like, oh, that's the, you know, there's no Earl Thomases of the cornerback, field that you look at and think there's a must have. There's a must get for the
Here's guys
the
you
Steelers.
Can scratch off this list but right they can away,
draft,
too.
Like you said, they've got draft picks.
Right, because you mentioned Brent Grimes. Do you think the Steelers need Mrs. Grimes getting involved in all their mess after all that? So he's off the list, right?
Right.
Some people said, well, you could trade for Jalen Ramsey. No, Jalen Ramsey right now doesn't have the best reputation in the world. You bring him into that locker room and he thinks he can control some things, you're going to have more problems than you are results.
Yeah, that's exactly why I say the whatever they do, and it doesn't matter, not just defensively. You know, you go across the board. If I'm the entire organization, my main concern is the chemistry in that locker room going forward.
No, it has to be.
You've got to look at that first. So
yeah, because you know Steeler fans are forgiving. If you just you know stay on the right path and give it your all, they're going to support you. But when you start doing this other stuff, that's when they're going to turn their backs. And that's a loyal fan base that you don't want going south on you either. So yeah, you definitely have to be more calculated than you would be in years past if you're the Steelers and Tomlin on who you bring into that mix.
No doubt.
Yeah. So,
I had a question for you guys. Buddy of mine, Chris Rogers on Twitter. Mm-hmm. He tweeted a pretty innocent joke. Okay, I'm going to read you the joke, and then I have questions for you. So this is what he tweeted out.
Okay.
I think Walmart training is like, quote, okay, you're in sporting goods. You'll eat, sleep, and breathe sporting goods. Now go stand in electronics. That was a joke. That was pretty funny because that's what happens. You go to Walmart, you look around, and you're like, hey, can you tell me where I could find I did this when I was shooting the pop locking for James Harden video. I needed a headband. I went to Walmart. I'm in the sporting goods area, and I'm like, hey, where are the headbands? And this guy goes, oh, dude, I work the home goods department. I'm like, well, what is going on here? It happens all the time. Funny joke, realistic. Mm-hmm. Walmart, he didn't tag Walmart, by the way.
Really?
He just tweets the joke out. You know, I think Walmart, blah, blah, blah. Apparently, Walmart is out there on Twitter just searching for their name because they responded almost immediately and said, oh, sweeping generalizations are so fun.
What? Really?
You're that petty? Like, you're Walmart. What? Who? Like, is there like a 12-year-old girl running your Twitter that she's just out there being petty for no reason?
That's Why would crazy. You?
First of all, it's a joke. Second of all, like, lighten up. Why are you? He didn't even tag you, Walmart. He just mentioned you, but not like an at. He didn't at you.
But the news of the day is
it's crazy.
Walmart's marketing and social media people went to a class put on by Daryl Morey, and now they realize that even when you aren't tagged, you are mentioned, and you can find it, and you can do something about it.
I saw it, and he was like, yo, why is Walmart running at me? It was just a joke. Like, it wasn't even that serious. It wasn't like your products suck, and you exploit your workers by paying them low wages. Like, it was none of that, which is all true, by the way. He didn't do any of that. He just was like, yeah, your people stand in the wrong department. That was basically what he said. And then they got upset. So I was just like, you know what? Target would have never done this. But I tagged Target and Walmart.
There you go. And you might get some gift cards out of it, too.
That wouldn't hurt.
First of all, did Walmart tag it with hashtag we run as one?
No.
No? I thought that might be it. And then second of all, on the flip side of that, on a positive note, a loyal suspect, El Jefe, last night.
Yeah.
How about that? He was looking to get him some wings.
Nice.
Right? So he
chicken wings,
not chicken wings, right? And he was
anything dirty,
kind of hitting up a certain local website to try and get involved. And they said, "Hey, you get 100 likes on this tweet, which mentioned the restaurant, we'll get you a gift card." Boom, just like that. He had like 150.
Like, yeah, somebody hit us up. Yep. Brother Bear, I think he was like, "Yo, let's help him get to 100." I was like, "Dude, he's already at 129. He doesn't need our help."
He was at 142 when I liked it. I was like,
really?
Oh, man, I hope he gets two gift cards.
I was like number 130, and I was like, he's already there. He's one. Yeah. So he better get it. We're going to hold him accountable. Yeah, I got faith.
And he listened, so he'll let us know. But that's
right.
That's the way you do things correctly.
That's right.
That's how you get yourself some manscapers.
That's.
I still got the box. I saw it in my closet the other day.
Don't bring that up. You know I had to go buy my own because of you?
You should just say something. I'd go look and see if there was something in there. It's still like sealed.
Nicholas, how many times have I brought up the manscapers on this show? How many times,
you
Nicholas?
You know how I operate. If you do it in a derogatory fashion that's taking shots, you get zilcho.
Oh, okay, Dad.
You want to do it in a nice way? We'll talk. Wait, otherwise, you got your allowance. Go to the store and buy what you want.
Now I got
to
have a hostage
now
negotiator?
Now go cut my lawn.
Now I got to have a negotiator with you? Make sure you treat him right. We don't want him losing it and killing all the hostages.
Did you weed the flower beds this week when you cut the lawn?
I don't need it now, so I'm not going to be nice to you ever, because I just went out and bought my own.
Then we're staying on par, then right par for the course.
I maybe shaved stuff I shouldn't have shaved.
Oh, here we go. So here we go with low-hanging fruit. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back hour number two, Usual Suspects, three-hour program, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, Joel, all in studio. Tomorrow's a Way Back Wednesday. No, we don't have a theme. That's why if you're a suspect, you know we normally don't pick them until after we're off the air. But we'll work on it. Nick is diligently gaining all of his resources together.
I think we have different definitions of what diligent is.
True.
I'm all over it.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have a topic. We'll have a theme.
When? Okay.
We'll get it done at
12:45 tomorrow.
You said by the end of the show, I have an hour and 45 minutes or an hour and 42 minutes.
So now he makes an order and you just go, yes, sir, and can I have another?
No, not really. I'm just making him feel like I'm listening to what he has to say when in reality I didn't even hear. Okay. I didn't even listen to that last segment.
You're appeasing him.
What's new?
What was that?
What's new? Welcome to the show. Longtime producer, first time listener.
That's pretty good. That right there.
Okay, so I mentioned that I about the shaver.
Yes.
I don't remember if I told you guys this, but my wife was telling me, or maybe it was you. Somebody told me to shave my underarms because of my sweat problem, that I wouldn't sweat as much.
I don't believe I said that.
I read it somewhere then, or someone told me.
Okay.
And then I did research it a little bit, and people said, yeah, if you get rid of the hair on your underarms, it allows you to get more deodorant and surface coverage on the skin, which can help reduce. It's not going to stop you from sweating.
It essentially clogs your pores.
But it reduces it, and well, it allows more antiperspirant deodorant to get on the skin to help you not sweat as much. But also the sweat tends to accumulate on the hair, which will then is touching your shirt, which causes the sweat rings faster. So you'll still sweat. You'll probably still get a sweat ring, but it won't occur as quickly. I was like, well, I'm down with all that. So I couldn't get my compadre and co-host here to give me the man groomer that we got on the show many, many years ago. So I went out and bought my own, and I used it, and it works great. I shaved my underarms bald, by the way, and I feel like
Ow!
That's literally what happened, by the way. I have a skin tag on my underarm, and I didn't know it. I shaved it off. And bled like a stuck pig, had no idea that it even existed. I was just like, well, this is not good at all. So now I'm walking around with bald underarms feeling, you know, very...
You couldn't just trim it with some scissors?
I feel very feminine. Well, although it's growing. No, I'm not going to cut it with scissors.
What do you got down there? Was it like a roach's antenna under your armpit? Like, what is it?
No, it's just hair. I'm not a hairy person to begin with.
I'm just saying that the whole blade, like, against the skin part is what caused that, obviously.
Right. Do you have a massive fro of hair under your... did you?
I mean, I would say I'm about probably average when it comes to hair under the arm. I'm not really hairy.
Okay.
You know, but I'm not... I've
never heard of... I would say...
But the skin tag is what hurt.
But I would say to Nick's point, too, trim it way down.
No,
but to
go
bald... is not a good idea.
No, I just took the off, gone.
Literally, when you think about that, because of the fact that, one, I get with the deodorant on the bare skin, you're kind of clogging the sweat glands more, too, and you're also getting more product on there. But, like, first thing I thought about with you was don't put that certain dry stuff on top of the bare skin, because you're going to have, like, a whole patch of rash that's not going to feel good under your arms.
I didn't do it, like, right away, but, yeah, it felt a little weird the first couple of times, stung a little bit. Plus, just this, like, the skin tag is I would still sweat, and now that it was gone... And just a open wound. It sucked.
That's not a smart move. Now, what I will encourage
I don't know if I'll do it again.
But I think what you should do before you do it there is I think you just go straight for the genitals and just go clean shaven.
I used it down there.
And then just throw some Certain Dry down there.
No, I'm not doing that.
No?
No. Baby powder afterwards. I'm not putting anything on there.
And just a blade razor, I think, would work better.
No, I'm not going to do that either.
Oh.
No, I'm not.
I'm just throwing
a straight razor, the kind I used to do my edge up.
Consider.
No, I'm not doing that.
Okay.
Straight raising the boys? No.
Yeah, why not?
That's low on my list of activities I want done.
Well, that's just where they are. It doesn't, just because you got to go down a little farther. That's low on your list. But you can go down and get them.
No, I just use the razor I have, and it works just fine, and it doesn't cut.
I think Nikki should go straight edge blade. Right to the
boys.
I'm
not doing that.
Give it a shot. That's the new version of the man.
I do have a straight razor, but it's to do my edge up. It's to, you know, shave the widow's peak around and all that.
I would not mess with a straight edge razor, no matter what.
Oh yeah, I've shaved my face with it before.
Really?
Yeah, and cut myself up pretty bad.
I was gonna say I'd look like I went a couple rounds with Rocky. I'd be having little cuts and nicks all over the place.
Yeah, I cut myself up, but so I stick with a regular razor for the face now.
Yeah,
and just use the straight razor for the edge up.
Makes sense.
It works.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. You.
Let's do it.
Let's get. It says Jussie, Texas.
J-U-S-S-I-E.
Yeah, spelled like someone else. Jussie, what's up? And go.
And he hung up.
Really?
Hmm.
Did he get scared? You scared, Jussie?
Well, these things happen, I guess. Okay. So Jussie off the board.
I got a question for you from the text line. Well, for us.
Okay.
As the All-Star break has passed, which team has been the most surprising to y'all this season in the NBA?
That's easy for me, but you guys already know what I'm going to say.
Denver.
Yep.
I think that's got to be the answer, right?
Sacramento
probably surprised a lot of people.
They're better, yeah.
But I think the biggest surprise, based on how highly ranked they are in the standings and everything they've been able to accomplish, I think Denver almost has to be the answer.
I think the Kings are the NBA's version of the Browns. And they're finally getting
better.
That's
pretty good.
Right?
Yeah.
I just think from a Denver perspective, no one gave them the credibility that they thought they were still a couple years off, and they proved without a true superstar, you can put the right collection of talent together, young talent, and they're capable of doing some things, and they got a lot of young talent on that team.
Okay, I'm going to put this a different way.
Okay.
Does the most surprising team have to be in a positive manner? Are you surprised that the Celtics and Sixers are 4-5, 6.5 back, and just winning at a 63-64% clip?
I am, and what makes it more surprising is...
So is that a bigger surprise than Denver?
No.
Okay.
No, although I will say this. The one thing, I give Philly credit, because no matter how they've endured struggles, you can say a lot of that is due to completely overhauling their roster, and they're going for it. They've made moves and trades to bring in players that are going to try and have them make a legitimate run at a championship. Where on the flip side, Boston is hell-bent on believing what everybody says, that this team already has almost too much talent. It's just a matter of figuring out their roles and figuring out the locker room. And I think that's a dangerous, dangerous recipe for a team.
It's a good point. There's, you know, when you look at the surprises and you think of the Kings and the Nuggets and I think the Celtics, the one team and the Sixers, the one team that we don't talk about, I think it's also a surprise for a lot of people, is the Bucks.
Yep.
And they have the best record in the NBA right now, 43-14. They're winning at over 75% of their games, almost 76%. But it's almost like you expect them with a guy like the Greek Freak to be well. But and maybe we don't give the guys around him enough credit for being good, but I think they would be on the list. But I still think you expected more with him.
I think the bigger surprise is if I told you that at the start of the year, Milwaukee would have the best record in the East. Because they're getting better.
No, we knew that they had the best record in the NBA.
Well, either one. If I said either one of those two, you'd say, well, that'd be a surprise because you got Boston and you got Philly just in the East alone. Toronto added Kawhi Leonard.
Golden State in the West.
And you still got Golden State in the West. So, yeah, either one of those statements would be major, major surprises. The other thing that gives Denver more credence, too, is they don't have a Greek Freak. Closest thing they got is the Joker,
yeah.
Jokic, and yet they're doing things.
Yeah. Now, the other one that I'm going to add to the list, so we've got Milwaukee, I think, that should be on the list along with Denver, Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
So that's three good surprises.
Three bad surprises,
Boston, Philly. How about the Rockets?
Oh, for sure.
Are you surprised that the Rockets are in fifth? They're eight games back?
I am.
I mean, you feel like that should have been a better team than they are. Now, we know that they've had the injury history, but I don't think it's completely out of the rim to say that it's surprising, but on the bad side, not the good side.
I would say it's on the bad side for sure, but I'd say I'm surprised they're at least at five because of the fact that when they made the changes, I had deep concerns. When they got out of the gates, if you want to call it that, and fell flat on their face, I had concerns that they might not even be more than an eight or a seven seed, and it was a pretty big hole to dig out of because of some of the teams we're talking about that got better, like Denver taking spots that you thought you were going to have in the top four. So the fact that Harden has done all he has done has been that much more impressive because I thought that might have been too deep of a hole to dig out of.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, at the same time, a team that came coming off the year that they had, coming off a trip to the Western Conference Finals where I don't think many people outside of Golden State and the Bay Area would argue with you that if Paul's healthy, they're at least in the finals, even if they don't win at all.
Right.
And all of a sudden, you got a team that's fallen that fast. That's a huge surprise. I think that I put them up with the neck and neck with the Celtics, maybe more so than the Celtics, as the biggest disappointment.
Okay. One thing I know you won't be disappointed about is using an app called GetUpside. This app is amazing. First of all, completely free to download. Go to your app store, look for GetUpside, all one word, download it. And make sure right away when you install it, 2 minutes to get it installed, put in promo code Barry because I want you to get extra savings. I've got the app. I just opened it in front of me. So this app is going to save you on stuff that you already purchased, like gas and food, right? So I open up the app and I'm looking at it right now. There are two Shell stations right near this station here in the Galleria area that I can go to and save, get 12 cents a gallon cash back on. 12 cents a gallon cash back. There's a Shell station by my house that I can get 12 cents a gallon cash back on. But it's not just gas. I mean, there are 5,000 plus gas stations in the area that you can open up the app and see for yourself. You don't even, I mean, just download it. Download the thing, put in promo code Barry because I want you to get that extra savings. You can get a bonus savings when you make your purchase on gas. So use promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y, when you download it. But just look. I mean, there's Burger King restaurants, Wendy's, Popeye's. There's a Cyclone and Aya's not far from here that I can get a discount at. Up to 35% cash back when you go to a restaurant. So you download GetUpside, you put in promo code Barry, and then you just pull up the map and you search around you what you want. Like food, right now, I can get 15% off at the Popeye's right around the corner here. Same thing at the Burger King. It's unbelievable, man. And it's you're already eating. You're already putting gas in your car. Why wouldn't you download GetUpside? Put it on your phone and get that savings back, cash back in your pocket. Check it out. It's called Get Upside. Promo code Barry is what you want to use. And like I said, hundreds of restaurants. Just check it out for yourself. Remember, get the savings. Promo code Barry. It's Get Upside. You're already, I mean, you like getting cash back, right? You're already spending money on gas. Get Upside. Thank me later.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
They're gonna clean up your looks with all the lies in the books.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Fellas, it's 90 in the books. It's 90 still to go. It is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Tuesday. Appreciate y'all taking us along for the ride. We were talking a little bit basketball and surprises, both positively and negatively in the NBA. And I don't know if you've seen it yet. I don't know if the entire interview has aired yet. But over All-Star Weekend, Rachel Nichols caught up with James Harden. And I want to tell you this. And it may, you guys might want to sit down for this.
Uh-oh.
I was very impressed with James's answers. Because in the past, as much as James had a lot of coaching from his agent and from the PR department and other things, James was easily swayed into making everything me.
Mm-hmm.
My takeaway from the interview with Rachel Nichols was, as much as he did say some things that were just kind of, you know, good, easy, softball, politically correct things to say.
Right.
He handled a lot of things with maturity in terms of whether he means it completely or not. I saw a different James than I knew because he was able to shoulder the load and say, look, I didn't like doing this. I didn't want to do this, but I knew I had to do this because of injuries and the situation and the way that we play. And he followed it up by saying, look, I hear the noise because a lot of players say, I don't watch TV. I don't tune into all that. And he said, listen, I hear things, social media and otherwise, it gets to me. He goes, but what really gets to me too is when ex-NBA players like Kobe, like T-Mac, like Steven Jackson and Scottie Pippen, he goes, those things, that hurts.
Wow.
So I give him a whole hell of a lot of credit for kind of taking ownership of
it. He also said they're entitled to their opinion. And I'm with you. I think he's grown way more than he has in the past, especially with dealing with media. Rachel Nichols even asked, like, sell it to me. Why should you be MVP? And he was like, what you mean? And at first I was like, I thought he was going to respond with a little aggression. Nope. He was like, he just justified his answer and told you why he thought he should be MVP, and I think that's the way he should approach it.
And he said, just look at the numbers. He goes, the numbers speak for themselves. Now, I think that this is the double-edged sword. This is where we're going to really see the rubber hit the road.
Okay.
Because now with the Rockets getting healthy, and what you and I have already talked about too, like if the streak ends,
yeah,
it's going to will it bother him? Because now, if he really is bought in on the team concept, the quicker that he can get back to playing D'Antoni's team style, fast-paced offense, scoring buckets, getting people involved, the farther this team can go. But if push comes to shove and he's more focused on the streak, now you're talking about his minutes not going down, the load not going down, his teammates standing around, and you're going to say, okay, it's one thing to say it, it's another thing to actually do it.
Right, and I think you hope when it comes time to have to, hey, look, this is obviously my shot's not falling. I can get Capella involved because he's back now. I can get all this stuff done within the confines of the offense and not hit my streak. You want to see him react in a professional way and
right.
Say, you know what, team first. I don't know if that's the reality. and I know you've been involved in the
inner workings,
the organization, mm-hmm. and seen behind the scenes what goes on, and you probably know that in a way that's important to that organization when they have a guy that they can tout as the MVP. And I think Daryl, you've expressed, you know, that's important for those guys, and it's something that team can hang their hat on. But you're right, and at the end of the day, it's going to be proof is in the pudding.
Right.
If this team is better when James is scoring 25 and getting 15 assists, is he going to be willing to do that?
Yeah, and the other thing is, too, it goes back to what we were saying last segment about the fact that one thing that they have that the Nuggets don't have that makes them a more dangerous team is a guy like James Harden.
Right.
And if you got a healthy Chris Paul, now we've got one of the greatest point guards in NBA history playing on the Houston Rockets. That's a big upside come playoff time, but with that comes the kind of maturity to say, I can still get mine, but we're not going very far. But if I can get Chris to get his, I get most of mine. We have a better chance to go farther.
This is what would not surprise me is if you see James Harden struggling in a game by first half, he's got 7 points. And then D'Antoni just says, well, you know what? I wanted to rest him. And so that was my decision that the streak ended. He could have gone out. You guys have seen him score 25 and a half. It wouldn't have been a problem. But I'm not saying 7, but if he's having a bad game, I could see this being one of those D'Antoni. You know what? He had a sore knee. We rested him. Kind of an out for James,
and that would be
too.
That would be a big step forward for D'Antoni, because now you remember the knock on D'Antoni and his system is he'll wear a Steve Nash and a Kobe Bryant into the ground by just overdoing it in the regular season with minutes and load and everything else.
That's a good point.
And you can't really afford to do that with this team. It's almost a luxury if when Capella comes back, he's going to be healthy the rest of the year. If Chris Paul's early struggles means there's a better chance he's going to be healthy in the playoffs, because now you still have enough resources.
But I think D'Antoni has recognized it, at least in interviews I've heard post-game. You've heard him talk about how we've got to get guys like P.J. We've got to get healthy because guys like P.J. Tucker need rest. Guys like James Harden need rest. They're carrying the load. And this was early on. This was a couple months into the season. So I think he recognizes it, and he doesn't want to do that. But it's kind of like, what choice do you have?
Well, that's right. But that's where the maturity of Harden shows, because I'm going to tell you guys a story real quick that I've never said before. But when we were in Portland playing in that series against the Blazers when Aldridge went crazy.
Oh, God.
And we were at shoot-around in Portland.
That one stings so bad.
Okay. And Harden was really struggling, and Wes Matthews Jr. was putting it to him defensively and talking to him and otherwise. And at shoot-around, he wanted to go talk to Coach. And Coach McHale went and talked to him, and Coach McHale came back over afterwards, and he was shaking his head. And I was like, what was that? That he's just frustrated that the shots are there and he's not getting them? He goes, no. He wanted me to go get him help. He's like, this is the playoffs. The trade deadline's gone. What am I supposed to do? My best player wants help, me to go get him help. There's no help to get at this point in the season. But that was the immaturity of James.
Yeah.
Now, similar situation, only regular season, and he's being relied on even more.
And he's taking
and
it
instead
upon
of saying, let's go, you got to go get me help. This is on you, Daryl. This is on you. No, he's just taking, get all on my back, and I'm going to carry as far as I can, and we're going to go as far as we can go. And that's why I give James just kudos and a hell of a lot of credit, because he's shown me a lot of maturity that I didn't think he had in him.
That's a great story.
So if you're a Rockets fan, you should really hope that that's the case, that you know that there's better things to look forward to once they get healthy, and I hope that is the case.
Yeah, that was. I'm glad you shared that. That was pretty cool.
So, all right, we're going to continue to roll on. Before we hit the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Fitz Roofing. I've been telling you for a long time, if you're looking for a roofing company in the Houston area, maybe you got a leaky roof, or you just are thinking about putting a new roof and new shingles on your house because it's going to up the value and give you a better look aesthetically, well, I'm telling you, Fitz Roofing is the place to go, because ever since the hurricane and beyond, there's been storm chasers, deposit thieves, and sketchy roofers that want to get your business, get your money up front, then do bad work and head out of town before you can even get customer service help. Well, that's not going to happen with Fitz. They are in this area, and they're here to serve the Houston area and beyond and handle both commercial and residential roofing. That means from leaks to full roofs, they can do it for business, and they can do it for your home. They're a CertainTeed Select Shingle Master company. Only 1% of the roofers in the entire U.S. meet that criteria. You need it, they got it, and they'll give it to you, including CertainTeed Shingles, which are the best in the business. And quite frankly, folks, their base warranties are longer than your average roofer. You want to know how they do? A-plus rating on the Better Business Bureau, 5-star ratings on Facebook and Home Advisor, and they will give you a free no-obligation inspection just by reaching out and getting in contact with them. You can reach them at 832-521-3001. That's 832-521-3001. Or go on to fitzroofing.com. Either way, free no-obligation inspection. They come to you and see what you got, tell you what you need, and then they go away, and when you need them and the time is right, call them back, and they will do fantastic work. It's Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
Loaded and ready to rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, final segment of hour number two, but good news, 3-hour show. So we still got more than 60 minutes on the clock. If you want to get in the show and get something off your chest you've had on your mind, HRNP listener line, 713-780-3776. Call or text that number. Hit us on Twitter. Lots of good interaction from the suspects today on the text message and on Twitter, so we appreciate you.
Got a text. Speaking of texts, somebody said way back Wednesday should be songs by artists from Canada and more lawn talk, please. Now, see?
Well, Nick, one of your all-time favorites, Carly Rae Jepsen, is from Canada. I found that out accidentally because she sang "Oh Canada" at the All-Star Game.
So was Pink Valkyrie, but still, we're not going to do no Canadians.
That must have been her text.
Thank goodness,
because she loves lawn talk. She absolutely loves.
She hates.
That is one of her biggest. Yeah,
she absolutely hates lawn talk,
and she's literally the only one besides you two hoes that hate lawn talk. Everyone else
would
loves
that be
it.
A garden hoe?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
But I swore that I would never talk lawn talk again on this show because I got tired of hearing these Virginians cry. So no more lawn talk. That thing is dead and it's over. No more.
Good. I'm not feeling sorry for you.
Somebody texted, Joel, who would you like to see the Packers realistically go after this offseason?
I mean, real quick, they need another receiver to complement Davante Adams, and they're going to probably let Randall Cobb walk, and the guys they drafted aren't quite what they thought they were going to be. So I think, whether it be free agency otherwise, I would love to see them get another receiver, and they've talked about Golden Tate, and I think I've said all along, and you guys know I'm on record, the first team that I thought about when Le'Veon Bell was available, going to be available, I said, I'd love to see him go to Green Bay.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes.
There you go. There's your Packer wish list.
Yep.
They need help at quarterback for sure, and...
Yeah. Okay. Not for a couple more years, but then it could get really ugly.
You guys said we talked about this before, and I don't recall it, but I'm curious. I think we in general talked about washing the sheets at the house.
Oh, we talked about it because, yeah.
Yeah, we talked about it. We got participation and everything.
So there was an article that came out by The Mirror, which is a British tabloid. But see, when they say tabloid over there versus tabloid over here, it's two different things. Like the National Enquirer is a tabloid that would be like, oh, Elvis Presley banged an alien and they're both still alive and Tupac is their baby. Like that's the kind of stuff that you would get from the National Enquirer. Over there, it's a little less. I mean, there's still some BS articles, but I don't know. The Mirror seems to have some really good information.
It's more like a periodical or a magazine, but still has a lot of realistic stories.
So The Mirror had an article about how long men wait to change their sheets after sex. And they did a study. Women, does it surprise you that women change their sheets on average 4 days?
Ooh, it does surprise me.
You think that it would be shorter than
yes.
that?
Yes.
I think that's about right.
After sex, you wait 4 days to wash the sheets?
It's about right.
Yeah, I mean, think in my situation, if the dog jumps on the bed and the comforter isn't covering all the sheets, even if she did this, put new sheets on the bed, they're gone. So, Lisa's a stickler for that.
So guys wait 18 days after a one-night stand to wash their sheets. I think the average... the average guy washes his sheets every 11 days, but after a one-night stand, apparently it's 18 days.
I'm guessing...
No, doesn't it also depend
on
the female?
He gets laid, right? Mm-hmm. And then he obviously doesn't get laid again for like 18 days. And then when he does get laid again, that's when he changes his sheets. That way when she comes in... When she comes over to the house, his sheets
me.
Don't.
Twice you've scared me with this.
Don't smell all, nothing but sheets and funkiness, you know?
Yeah.
I thought you were going with, like, as a like sports mentality. Well, don't want to break the hot streak. So
no,
if these sheets
like,
are working and I'm getting what I need, I'm going to be productive and keep them on.
I bet you that's what it is.
So it says in the article, according to the habits that they looked at, the average person changes their sheets every 24 days, but say they don't become gross until 35 days. But that guys will, after a one-night stand, wait 18 days.
Well, like when I was single.
Obviously, they're not. Like, single dudes aren't changing their sheets every 24 days.
Or,
it's like twice a year you'll wash
but
them.
But I said the what who the woman is plays a part in this.
That's true.
I mean, if your one-night stand is Puddles the Clown, then you probably have a chance to do something different.
But if it's a one-night stand...
Then waiting like 3 weeks to change your sheet.
But how much of a say does she really have if it's a one-night stand? Like, she doesn't
talking
know.
About
she's
for your own benefit. Yeah. You don't want to sleep in
right. life. I don't want to lay in that.
Of course. Of course. But I'm just saying, she's not going to like. She's not going to be able to say anything. She has no say in
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Not but unless you start dating her.
But do you, exactly. next day, do you really want to be wallering in that all night by yourself?
No, I'm not saying I want to do this. I'm just saying that if it's a one-night stand, it's hard for the girl to kind of say anything. Now, she might ask, like, did you change your sheets? Because that's kind of gross.
No. They're just saying in general. Like, dudes are just right. like, yeah, I'll wait 18 days.
Well, that's just crazy.
As a single guy, I would say, yeah, I wasn't like paying attention. Like, well, I got some last night. I'm going to have to wash my sheets tomorrow. No, I'm going to work and I'm taking a shower and everything, but I ain't worried about all that.
I got to be honest with you. I probably wouldn't change the pattern at all.
But see, for you...
Like, no, but I'm saying, like, if you're a single dude and you had sex on your couch, are you going to have your couch steamed the next day?
Again, I bring the Puddles of the Clown reference.
I never,
because
even then, I might flip the cushions, but I'm not having it cleaned.
Boy.
Mm-hmm. No, I just...
I'm going to leave that where it lies.
You obviously have something in your past
I'm
you want to
leave that one
about.
Where it lies.
What
yes.
was her name and what happened?
No chance. No. Mm-mm.
Come on.
No.
Tell us the details.
The weather report says it looks like it's going to be sunshine and rainbows later this week. I'm staying right out of...
Oh, I so want to know this story now. Oh, it's killing me.
Yeah, maybe off the air.
Maybe? Okay.
Yeah.
So, point is, dudes out there, change your sheets after one-night stands at some point.
You
at least prior to the next
okay,
one-night stand.
Let's go to Single Berry.
Here's the way to do it.
Let's go to Single Berry.
Okay.
Okay, because this surprises me with you.
This is a long time ago.
And, Nick, I don't know about you either, but I would say that indication of Single Berry would be if you were anywhere close to as hygienically focused as you are now, I would say that regardless of whether you were on your own or you had a significant other, I would think you would be the one leading the charge to change the sheets weekly.
All right, so if we're going to flashback prior to me meeting my lovely wife, Nora, sure. who I've mm-hmm. been with for 20 wonderful years, mm-hmm. when I was single, mm-hmm. for a very brief period of time in between my ex-wife and her, I don't think I ever changed the sheets.
Bed bugs were getting lost in your sheets.
Wow.
They're like, where the hell am I going?
I told you that I was not a germaphobe until I met my wife.
Really?
I was not a clean... Now, I wasn't like a dirty guy.
Yeah.
But I was a typical bachelor.
If you didn't ever change your sheets, then yeah.
Okay, well now
then you're a dirty
I feel
guy.
Like I have to explain that when I... After my divorce was final, from that time to when I met Nora was less than a year. So I was single for less than a year.
So you're sleeping on the same
first
sheets
your excuses
for 11
that
months.
The calendar allowed me to get off
I think in that time frame, maybe 6 to 9 months in that time frame, I'm trying to think. First of all, I bought a waterbed.
I was thinking back the other day. I had a waterbed in college. And I was like, what was I thinking?
I was such a ghetto ass.
I had one in college. Like,
black lacquer waterbed, of course, with the mirrors all the way across the back.
I thought those things weren't cheap. How was that ghetto?
I mean, it was just, it's such a, like a horrible.
Not a real comfy sleep
no,
either.
No, I've been on them. They're not. Yeah. It was
it's
such a
worst.
Stupid invention.
It really, really
worst
was.
Worst thing to do was to get drunk and lay on a waterbed. Oh, you were definitely going to vomit.
Yep.
There was no
That's
doubt
true.
About it. I would sleep on the floor sometimes. I would come home from the club and just be like, you know what? I can't sleep on that thing tonight.
Plus
I will puke.
Say it was like an aphrodisiac and it was supposed to be this, you know.
No.
No.
I actually wasn't. It wasn't beneficial to the sex life. I didn't like it
because it went off. It went off beat. It went off rhythm.
Well, you
when
had
they
to
say
perfect
it's the
it.
Motion in the ocean, you got to ride a surfboard sometimes because
you got to time it.
Yeah,
you got to time it.
So I consider myself. I have decent rhythm. I was a decent dancer, and I mean I'm 44 and I'm white now, so of course I'm not going to dance like
now,
I used
as
to.
If earlier you weren't.
No,
change.
But back in the day, I was a good dancer. I had rhythm. I could, and so the waterbed for me was fine. It was just some of the dates. You're like, okay, they don't get
oh, like
how
those
this,
really big
the wet
dates
noodle?
That just made you sink all the way to the bottom.
So you put a wet noodle on the waterbed.
Poke a hole in the corner of the waterbed.
I mean, hope floats? What do we got going here?
Yeah,
like, let me get on top.
I'm like, say, girl, we are not supposed to be touching bottom.
I can feel the frame. Please get off.
Oh, my God, this is going to buckle. We have got to slow down. Let's just get on the floor. Huh?
Oh, you guys just gave me another memory, too.
But no, like, that was like a cool... I went to, I think it was Big Sur or Superior Waterbeds. Do you remember those?
I remember Superior Waterbeds.
There was one Big Sur. I think Big Sur was on 45 North.
I've never heard of Big Sur.
It was near Mambo's. It was either Big Sur or Superior Waterbeds.
Of course, I'm shopping in Wisconsin.
Oh, that was when they were big?
Yeah.
No, here there was two big, Big Sur and Superior Waterbeds. One of them was at 45 North near the Mambo's up there by West Road. I bought my waterbed there, and, man, I was so proud to be like, yeah, I'm a grown-ass man. I got my own black lacquer waterbed.
Yeah, people were super proud about their waterbed.
So, yes. Black silk sheets.
Mine, too.
Yeah. Wow. It was so cheesy. Yeah. I might as well. What was it? Larry on Three's Company that was like the cheesy neighbor?
Yes, with
I
the gold chain
Larry
and all
on
that,
Three's Company. I was just like, oh, God. Yeah, so.
Did you have side rail pads?
Yeah.
Yep.
Sure did.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Sure did. That is so terrible.
Very bad. I look back on that and go, what was I thinking?
Yeah, that was.
How did I sleep on
it? So, bottom line is, in the 6 to 9 months before I met my wife, on that waterbed, I maybe changed the sheets twice in that time frame.
You're filthy dirty.
Yeah. And I wasn't scared of like germs. I wasn't a germaphobe or anything until
I, hope it was
I met my wife and she became
time.
A nurse and was like, everything is gross. And then showed me and I was like, oh my God, everything is gross.
I hope she didn't blacklight those sheets after it started to get serious. You're like, what is this science project you got going on here?
I think the waterbed was gone by the time I met her.
Thank God.
That and everything else was in the past.
Jeez. Okay. Two in the books, one to go. Still an hour left of the big show. The final hour coming up after the break. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Restaurant to go to?
Do you know where I could find an organic Vietnamese taco truck around here?
Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news from Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler.